Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-decision episode of SCOTUScast. I'm your host, Grace Batchling. On February 25th, 2020, in McKinney v. Arizona, the Supreme Court of the United States issued a 5-4 landmark death penalty and criminal procedure opinion about the division between direct and collateral review and the jury requirements that the court had previously explicated in the apprendi line of cases, including Ring v. Arizona and Hearst v. Florida. At issue was an Arizona Supreme Court opinion that conducted an appellate reweighing of aggravation and mitigation after a remand from the en banc Ninth Circuit for a supposed error in treatment of certain mitigation on direct appeal. Writing for the majority, Justice Kavanaugh clarified or confirmed several important criminal and death penalty procedure issues. First, the majority affirmed the ongoing validity of Clemens v. Mississippi and the availability of appellate reweighing of aggravation and mitigation. Second, the court confirmed that a jury need only find the existence of an aggravating factor and need not conduct the weighing of aggravation and mitigation or impose the particular sentence in a death penalty case. Third, the court affirmed that a state court conclusion as to the collateral nature of a state appellate proceeding was not subject to dispute by the court. And now, to discuss the case, we have Ormel Skinner, Solicitor General for Arizona.
Well, everybody, this is a great opportunity that I've never had before to share my thoughts on a case as an expert that I was able to argue and win. This is a big win that we see for the state of Arizona, for Attorney General Brnovich, and for the rule of law. It's a very short opinion, so I will only give a few bits about the procedural history. So procedurally, this is a case where the real wrinkle came in where somebody was convicted and the first time an error is identified is that the in-bank in the habeas context where the Ninth Circuit identifies an Eddings error where they've believed that the Arizona Supreme Court had identified mitigation but had given it no weight as a matter of law. So now we're coming back down from the in-bank habeas process, and the Arizona Supreme Court had previously in the 90s and now was again asked to correct the identified Eddings error, which simply went to the weight that was to be given to the mitigation evidence, and to do so in a collateral posture that would not reopen direct review and would therefore not trigger any new rules of criminal procedure that had come down since the conviction became final. That's particularly salient in the state of Arizona because this conviction became final long before Ring versus Arizona. And Ring, of course, as people on a call like this would know, goes to the jury's need to find aggravators as opposed to a judge. So we have a judge-found aggravation case, and the Arizona Supreme Court, after the in-bank Ninth Circuit identifies an error, Arizona Supreme Court looks at the record, weighs the mitigation, gives it weight, says that it is inadequate to change the sentence, and affirms the sentence. Supreme Court of the United States grants cert, and so there we end up having a case in which a lot of the discussion is about retroactivity of new rules of criminal procedure, state direct proceedings versus state collateral proceedings, and this opinion is very short. It's only, you know, a few pages, 7 pages. But the two things that I will flag, one set of them is maybe a little bit less novel, but are nonetheless important. And the second ones, I think, are very big for the rule of law. So the first set of categories is the last part of the opinion, it, pages 6 to 7, that discusses direct versus collateral. So a big aspect of the oral argument and a big aspect of the case is that the Arizona Supreme Court had been clear that the proceedings that they had engaged in that were under review here were collateral in nature. Therefore, there's no need to apply Ring or Hearst or anything else to this case because those were all new rules that did not apply retroactively to the case. Petitioner made a lot about the fact that this was obviously a do-over of the direct review proceedings and that no matter what the label was that Arizona Supreme Court had put on this, didn't matter. Attorney General Brnovich, our office, we've always believed that when a state high court weighs in as a matter of state law, procedures and says what those procedures are, those get deference. And what you see in pages 6 to 7 of the opinion here is that Justice Kavanaugh confirms that that is the approach that's going to be taken here. There's a nice quote, under these circumstances, which is where Arizona had explained that it was conducting an independent review in a collateral proceeding, had cited a prior case, and was very clear about what it was doing, under these circumstances, we, the Supreme Court, may not second-guess the Arizona Supreme Court's characterization of state law. As a matter of state law, the reweighing proceeding in McKinney's case occurred on collateral review. And that's a big confirmation of what we don't think is a novel concept, but the confirmation that state courts of last resort get to be the arbiters of their own state law questions. And that's big. Also in this analysis, as it goes on to the next couple pages, the next page, is another big component, which is Justice Kavanaugh makes clear that collateral proceedings can fix errors from the direct proceeding that were only found on collateral. So here, the underlying Eddings error that was identified by the Ninth Circuit sitting in bank happened on direct, but was identified in the habeas process. And what is, you know, in discussing Clemens versus Mississippi, Justice Kavanaugh is very clear at the bottom of 6 going on to 7 of the slip-up that that is an available path, that analogizing to harmless error, it is possible for a court to correct an error from the direct review process in a collateral proceeding. When a court conducts harmless error review in the habeas context, that's what they're doing. They're correcting something that occurred on direct in collateral, and he says that Clemens supports doing that in these capital cases. So that's big. We think, again, that it's not particularly novel, but it's a very clear statement from the Supreme Court. So when it comes to direct and collateral, you have a confirmation here of federalism principles. State high courts get to make their own determinations about their law so long as they're clear about doing it and what they were doing and that they are consistent in how they did it. And two, a collateral proceeding can fix an error from the direct proceeding. That's very important. That's something that prevents you from having iterative reopenings of direct proceedings and the upending of convictions that were long ago final. Now, the second set of important things here that I think probably reach even broader than the two things I just flagged is a very strong confirmation of what Ring v. Arizona and Hearst v. Florida do and don't require. This has been a huge subject of discussion in the criminal bar. It's been a huge subject of discussion in the death penalty context. You've had a lot of people read Ring v. Arizona and Hearst v. Florida as saying that not only does the jury have to find aggravators, but that the jury also probably has to find mitigators, and the jury has to do the balancing of aggravation and mitigation and arguably select the death sentence. That led a lot of state legislatures, which I will say even in Arizona, to basically statutorily enact such a scheme. I think there's a concern about what Ring and Hearst actually required. But here you have, in very short order, Justice Kavanaugh on the bottom of page 4 of the slip-op onto page 5 says some very striking things. Bottom of page 4, under Ring and Hearst, a jury must find the aggravating circumstance that makes the defendant death eligible. No mention of mitigation. But importantly, in a capital sentencing proceeding, just as in an ordinary sentencing proceeding, a jury, as opposed to a judge, is not constitutionally required to weigh the aggravating and mitigating circumstances or to make the ultimate sentencing decision. This is a position that many of us have believed was true, but was not 100% clear after Ring and Hearst. This is a clear statement from the United States Supreme Court that Ring and Hearst don't require jury balancing, they don't require jury imposition of the death sentence, and there is what I think is at least a very important silence not saying that a jury has to find a mitigator. You know, this is important. The Ninth Circuit has a decision that is no longer going to apply because the Ninth Circuit had said that a jury must do this. Later on that page 5, you're going to see, in short, Ring and Hearst did not require jury weighing of aggravating and mitigating circumstances, and Ring and Hearst did not overrule Clemens as to prohibit appellate reweighing of aggravating and mitigating circumstances. So you've got very important stuff happening in just three paragraphs here. One, Clemens versus Mississippi, that talks about appellate reweighing of aggravation and mitigation to the extent that there's an error. That's still good law. As we just discussed, it also means that you can do that in a collateral proceeding, not just on direct. Clemens was a direct case. There is no need for jury balancing of aggravation and mitigation, and it looks very much like there is no need for a jury to find mitigation. So that's basically where I'll end this, but I think there is, in 7 pages of, I think, very easy to read opinion, Justice Kavanaugh has laid down substantial markers that I think change the landscape of death penalty sentencing, direct versus collateral, and retroactivity, and does a lot in just a very small number of pages.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's FEDSOC.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.